Let's consider the following physics question, and it goes like this. Using examples from special relativity, explain how theories in science are validated in different ways. 5 marks. Now, you can consider this in the comfort of just sitting back and thinking about it, but in 2017, this was a question which appeared in the final year examination paper for physics in New South Wales. Some 7,000 to 10,000 students across the state put pen to paper for this question. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I go into answering the question, but also going through question answering strategies. Now, previously we've discussed the official question answering strategy, which is the alarm technique, where you start off with identify, define, explain, and work out to this. And another technique, which I'll launch into more quickly, which is called the reverse order synthetic answer. That is, by looking at the question in reverse order, you synthesize an answer. And I should say, this is a technique which I've struck upon, just refining techniques of answering questions over years and as an examiner. I should also flag that although I'm an HSC examiner, for 2017, I didn't correct the HSC exam. So even though I did have a hard operation in 2017. This was a brief spring time between two hard operations where I could have gone in, but for other reasons, they said, no, look, we for internal sort of politics don't want you to mark exam papers. That also gets on to why I'm doing these podcasts is when you're teaching. You've got to be able to get your cognitive skills up such that you, when a student comes up to you with an exam paper, you're not all slow. You can actually jump into it and engage with them. So let's get back into it. I'll read the question again. Using examples from special relativity, explain how theories in science are validated in different ways. We'll just pause there and just tell you what special relativity is. This is Einstein's space-time, and at the level that we teach it in high school, it's basically different types of dilation, time dilation, length contraction, mass dilation, and causality. And I suppose the basic Einstein's postulates that all frames of references are equal, can be explained equally, and all the speed of light is the same in all frames of references. So that gets you up to things like dilation and simultaneity. That's the special relativity, the stuff, sort of basic technical questions that people could answer, but in this case it's an essay question, so let's work back. Theories validated in different ways. So you can validate a theory by observing and explaining a natural phenomenon, and if you that's successful, then that theory, if it explains all natural phenomena, not just one but all of them, you can say that that's validated. So by looking at individual phenomena, and then the other way that you can do is that you can contrive an experiment which you don't know the result of, but the actual theory predicts, and if the prediction is there. So the former would be an example of muons, which are generated by cosmic rays. When cosmic rays hit the upper atmosphere, these heavy form of electrons are formed, and they travel down, maintaining the momentum of the original cosmic ray. So therefore they travel at high speed, close to the speed of light, and if they're in their rest frame, if they would only last a tiny amount of time, but they last a much longer amount of time, shower down and hit us on Earth to hit detectors, so we can use differential detectors at the top of mountains and at the at sea level to produce, to work out the rate at which the muons are decaying. Their decay rate is slower, the clock is slower, and this is explained by time dilation. So we observe their clock going more slowly. I should actually say at this point, oh look, I'll say it a bit afterwards, for the other way, the other different way is where you set up an experiment and get the experimental results which confirm and validate the theory. The theory makes a prediction and the experiment meets the theory, and that would be the placement of atomic clocks on aircraft or in satellites, for instance, and seeing that they travel. There is a time dilation effect, and that was how special relativity was used to explain what was going on. So let's go in. There's not actually... So that concludes the answer, and I think that would have got you 5 marks. Very quick, and 5 marks corresponds to, I don't know how many minutes the exam's, 5 hours, and it's a marks out of 100. So 5, that's 15 minutes, I think, to answer that. 3 minutes a mark, something along those, 60. So that's not correct. It's, say, about 2 minutes a mark or something like that. To answer that question, you could have done that very well. The thing is that if you work the question forward, you'd say examples from special relativity, you might be able to... you may be tempted to write down your knowledge of special relativity and define it, and then explain the theories. It's really interesting that this explained the theories. You might be tempted to explain the theory, what the theory is, but it's not asking that. It's actually asking, explain how the theory, explain not the theory, but how the theory is used in science. And so I suppose the subtlety gets unstripped if you actually work backwards. It's a natural way of working backwards then. Now, let's just go back into a bit more of the science. The atomic clock thing.
You have Mummy. What was it called again, Mummy?
Yes, I've got a pension card. Yes, I do. Sorry about that. Okay, so we're going off to have a blood test, and my wife's blind, has a pension card, so I have to have that there for her. Okay, so in terms of special relativity, in terms of the atomic clocks, the interesting aspect to that is that the theory has to be more sophisticated to take into account the effects of general relativity and special relativity and going across with it. And in effect, you have the twin paradox thing. This is essentially putting a clock on a plane, and it goes back and it comes back and there's a delay. You know, is the twin paradox. How can two things experience time differently and come to the same point? And so even though this is put up as a classic proof of special relativity, the actual detail there corresponds to general relativity. So the twin paradox is resolved that one twin sitting on the ground experiences less acceleration and less acceleration in their frames of references, so they accelerate away. The travelling twin accelerates away and accelerates again to change directions, and then accelerates again a fourth time to slow down. So those four zones of acceleration causes clock to slow down. The actual special relativity is not there. Another thing is that the general teaching of understanding of special relativity doesn't take into account the more basic aspects of space-time, that your arm is 3 nanoseconds into the past, or 2 nanoseconds in the past. Your wristwatch slows down as you take your watch away from you, 2 nanoseconds and comes towards you 2 nanoseconds. This is something, of course, you obviously wouldn't teach at a school, because they're going to answer these types of questions and go into it, unless they're gifted students who are really trying to understand things deeply. And again, on the... There's a few other things about the muon detection to understand what's going on there, how you actually teach and understand special relativities, whether these theories in detail do actually validate what's going on. So that's an example of answering a question and the reverse order technique. I'm going to simplify things now. And avoid the confusion that people do have if you tell them no techniques, one technique, multiple techniques. I think if you tell them multiple techniques, the actual efficacy of any one of no, it will drop down to zero techniques if you teach them too many techniques. So in discussing things with you, I just putting into the background the alarm technique and putting forward the Rosa technique. I should say that it's my fervent wish, or the way that I would normally operate as a scientist, is to actually do a controlled study and do controlled study of the Rosa technique as a way of general answer. In terms of actually answering, say, questions from the electorate or questions in a job interview, it's a good technical way of answering it. But it's not necessarily the way of answering that is popular to go through with actually getting the job or answering the person if you answer the Rosa technique. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.